Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm currently trying to trademark the middle finger. And with me, I have...
I'm working. Wait, what'd I do?
Relax, it's nothing against you personally. It's...
Oh.
I'm trying to get royalties here, man.
Oh.
Loyalty. Got royalties. It's on my DNA. And as you may have noticed, once again, Alex is not with us, although this time it's completely unrelated to work reasons. See, he did want to join us this week, but he was listening to our last episode, and when we mentioned that there was a new Nickelback album coming out in the year of our Lord 2017, he maybe sort of kind of had a nervous break from reality. Thankfully, we have a live feed over to the asylum where he's currently being detained, so let's go check in with him right now. Hey, Alex, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm here getting some help after finding out about a certain band releasing a certain album. I'm not done here yet! Bunch of nutcases. You get that Twinkie away from me! Anyway, I've been getting some much-needed help. Plenty of therapy and meds, 3 square meals a day. They even have the Van Halen Pretty Woman video playing round the clock. Pretty woman, walking down the street. Oh, still in my head. I am not done here! Back off, or I will use this! Yeah, that's right, you better run! Sergeant Pepper is no match for my wiffle ball bat! I had to do some big things to get this. Things I'm not very proud of. I'm damaged goods now! You have to get me out of here, please!
I'm sure he's fine.
Maybe. I guess. Maybe he needs some help.
Well, doesn't everyone, man? I mean, Nickelback. Why?
Yeah, that's true.
Sadly, we will have some more Nickelback stuff to talk about later on in the episode, but that's a little bit of a ways away. But yeah, episode 39.
Almost middle age.
Yep. Although we are now at as many episodes of the Decibel Boost podcast as there were of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable. Where's part 5, damn it?
They're working on it, I don't know.
Well, we need an announcement, man. I mean, I gotta know how much time I have to finish reading the manga for Vento Oreo.
It's probably somewhere deep down in the offices of Dave Production. They're probably doing some top secret shit.
Yeah, super top secret. Like, they're trying to figure out how to make King Crimson make sense. Beyond just, it just works. You people who are only familiar with the anime will probably know what I mean once we get there. So, yeah, I guess a little bit of formality. So, anything exciting happening on your end, Mark?
Let's see, our oven broke.
That's very exciting!
Luckily, we got a new one that actually works actually good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, basically that.
Well, that's good to hear, at least.
Also, shit rained. It then stopped. Then rained again. Then stopped it. Fuck it, you know what I'm going with this.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it too much away, but both of us happen to live in the southeast, let's say. You know, the place most vulnerable to hurricane season, weather, and shenanigans. It gets so annoying.
Yeah. And especially if it's for me, like a day ago, I'm blowing the road.
Yeah, and you know, the most annoying thing to me is because at work, I sometimes have to do like a lot of walking around, you know, running things and documents from place to place. And even though I can usually find a safe, like, forward passage that guarantees that I won't get, like, directly wet, like, on my body and, like, my upper chest, I can't say the same for my shoes. And then once I get back to my post, it always feels like I'm still fucking walking around in a mud puddle.
Damn.
Yeah, it's annoying. But, outside of dealing with annoying weather, I mean, not much has been going on. I'm still waiting to get the grade back on the course I just finished. In the meantime, I've just been, you know, keeping busy listening to the musics and even finally getting around to making some more progress in Dark Souls 3, which, fuck me, that game is hard! Like, I know I should be used to it. I mean, I played Bloodborne a couple years ago, and I really like that, but, like, holy fuck, damn! Jesus Christ, like, even when I think I finally have a grasp on knowing what I'm doing, I almost always seem like I fuck up the most minor thing, then I get killed, then, you know, I have to go back all the way to the bonfire, I lose all the souls I collected, and I almost seems like I'm only 500 more souls away from being able to level up, and then I end up getting killed again, and then those souls get lost forever, and then, you know, it's this whole process thing.
Well, shit. I mean, I know I heard Dark Souls, the game was where it's like, do this, you fail, try again. Like, it's basically like, it's like, if you stub a toe, you die. If you drink water, you die. If you scratch yourself, you die.
Sometimes quite literally, because I had an encounter where I was going through a dungeon, and then I saw a chest. I went to go open the chest, and then it turns out the chest is a fucking monster, and it just fucking one-hit kills me. Come on!
So basically, this game is like, fuck you, the game. It's like, oh, here's the... You won, here's this. No, fuck you, you die, game over. Like, holy shit.
It's literally that! I mean, I have fun with it sometimes, but like, still, damn, holy shit. Even the chest can kill... Come on!
Damn.
But I think I may be just shy of halfway through at this point, so who knows. And aside from that, I've also finally gotten around to my watching of Archer, which I'll admit I've never actually seen in full outside of, like, season 4, which that was the one that had the episode sort of crossover with Bob's Burgers, I think.
Oh, yeah. I've been had a hell of a very far behind on that as well.
Can I just say how jealous I am of Dr. Krieger? Because he has a fucking hologram anime waifu.
Oh yeah, he's living the otaku dream.
It's the only time he has an erection that didn't involve a homeless person. Yes, it's very funny, I'll admit. And I think I'm now up to like season 3. Like, I think I watched the first couple of episodes, or just the first episode, but, you know, maybe sometime soon I can get back to it. Maybe not this weekend, because I'm playing a show, so I'll probably be a little busy. But, you know, sometime, maybe during this week. And that's about enough of the formalities, so now is the part where we should get into the usual. Starting with the new song discussion for the past week. If you want to listen along, there will be a playlist linked down in the description of all the songs we talk about this week. So, you know, tune in, and then maybe come back to this so you can engage with us in discussion a little bit further. So, starting from the top, Washed Out. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that this producer dropped a new single and was likely prepping a new album. I mean, they were going out on a tour soon, so it stands to reason, right? Mm-hmm. And we now have confirmation of that album. Apparently, it's going to be a visual album called Mr. Mellow, and it's due out literally at the end of the month, June 30th. So, like, just in time to possibly be included on, like, the monthly roundup once that gets around.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, this song, much like the last one, I kind of feel like there's a sort of jazzy vibe to how it's produced. Although this one I got more of sort of a lounge setting, like a really nice lounge in a really good hotel, especially with like that drum beat and those really like warbled, wavy, dreamlike synths and vocals that it almost kind of seems like they're being played a little bit in reverse, kind of at times. But, you know, enjoyable. There's, you know, a cool piano thing that accentuates the lounge vibe. Nice thing to vibe out to. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this definitely a vibe track as, what you hear. I feel like this is like very relaxing music. Even something like you can slightly dance to if you're alone in the house with no one watching.
Mark, is there something you're not telling us?
No.
Okay, then.
But yeah, this track is pretty good. Yeah. Definitely fitting the mellow, you know, Mr. Mellow.
Absolutely. And surprisingly, believe it or not, Alex had an opinion on this song as well, so let's throw it over to him in the asylum.
Washed Out. This is something I've been hearing here at the institution over the PA. Or maybe it's just the very Muzak-style groove that the song has to it. But I do dig the wave kind of style groove that the song has in the main hook, but other than that, I can't say much. It's just a pretty nice, chill song that I need to hear more of, because... Woo! Nuthouse! Please help me.
Thank you for your opinion, sir. Hopefully people aren't giving you too much trouble over there. Now moving on to the next song on the list. My favorite album of 2015, like my number one top favorite, was The Congregation from a European prog rock slash prog metal act called Leprous. And naturally, when I heard that they dropped a new single and a new album had been planned by them, I was like, oh, holy shit, yes, I am there. Said album is called Malina, M-A-L-I-N-A, and it's due out August 25th. And with this first single, From the Flame, much like on The Congregation, this one's going for a much prettier and more sort of melodious kind of prog rock. It almost kind of reminds me of, I'm blanking on the name of it, but there's a specific track that the melody and the vibe remind me of off The Congregation. I'm sure I'll remember it later. But as for this song, you know, it opens with these very echoing, buzzing synthesizers, which is a thing that's maintained throughout most of the song. And then when you listen to the verses, the guitar kind of has like this staccato, funk, ska sort of thing going on, you know, accentuated by these very intricate drum beats, this off-kilter, you know, time signature rhythm, and of course those absolutely majestic melodic vocals. A vibe also maintained throughout the chorus, where, you know, those synths return and everything just, the melodies swell and swell, and it's just some absolutely immaculate melody and songwriting. Like I said, it has me perfectly hyped for an album that I'm sure is going to be really damn good, and probably end-of-the-year contender. It's probably not safe to call it here, but, you know, given their previous track record, I could say this is going to be in the consideration. So let's throw it over to Alex back in the asylum to see what his prog rock, you know, prog rock ass thinks about this shit.
Synth-infused progressive rock. How did I not discover Leprous sooner? I'm hearing a bit of Perfect Element era Pain of Salvation in the verse hook with that staccato guitar lines. Yeah, I was impressed with this song. So into the backlog they go. Thanks for recommending this to me, Rob. Now, can you help me smuggle in some Skittles? One of the guys here only eats green Skittles. I will get them, okay?
Thank you very much for your opinion. Your request has been heard. I'm going to get you those green Skittles in about 2 to 4 weeks, according to what the paperwork says.
And here's the shank. Wait, never mind. Here's this cake. That's totally not a shank.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, that's just perfectly normal red velvet cake.
Yeah.
The weird silver thing you see poking out of the middle is just, you know, a garnish.
Decoration! Decoration will look fancy and shit.
Yep. So, moving on to our next song. Good old Action Bronson. He has a project coming out soon. Something that he's been teasing for quite a bit. He knew... Is it an album or a mixtape? I'm not entirely sure on this.
I think it was a mixtape. So at least this is what I got from me. Yeah, I think it's a mixtape.
Yeah, he's got a project coming soon. Let's assume it's a mixtape called Blue Chips 7000, which is apparently supposed to cap off some kind of recurring motif within his releases. Yeah. I'm sure Mark knows more about this than I do.
Yeah, because he has mixtapes called mixtape called Blue Chips, and then Blue Chips 2, and then I guess he skipped all of something like with the 7000.
Yeah, man, what happened to 3 through 6,999? I mean, if Gucci Mane could put out that many mixtapes, so you can too. Anyway, go on.
Well, anyway, yeah, the song is called Let Me Breathe, and I gotta say, and we'll say this for the song, it is. Looks like it is more of a freestyle than a song, because he does say a lot of various shit, like a lot of various shit throughout the song, with this maybe like kind of like this light production, which kind of went in and out to be
honest. Yeah, it's very twinkly, kind of like a nursery rhyme almost.
pretty much that. Usually, like, when I listen to Ash, it's like, okay, he's saying some weird, interesting shit. Although, I think there's one line where he says something like, his dick or something.
Something about some woman he was sleeping with breaking his dick. And I'm like,
Oh, yeah, that part. Like, she broke my dick. Like, oh shit.
Like, how does that work? Like, okay, like, Action Bronson, I know this may sound offensive, but heck, they made a joke about it on Eric Andre, so I can get away with saying this. He's a big dude. So, like, how could anyone break anything on him? Like, I don't know, were they, like, banging in, like, a helicopter, and they just, like, fell over, and then she just happened to, like, you know, fall on his, like, dick or something as they collided with the ground?
Damn, I don't know, although I think I heard a friend from mine that he might know some girls that actually do break dicks as some sort of sexual thing. Yeah, I don't get that shit either.
And I do not want to know if that's true or not. Please don't message me.
but this song, it's listenable. I mean, I didn't hate it. It's like, I probably wouldn't go away to listen to it again, but it's like, it's okay.
So I'm guessing, since you know more about Action Bronson, from your reaction, it sounds like you don't think of this as like in the upper tier of like Action Bronson tunes.
Right. Hmm. Right.
Well, I don't know what to say other than like I thought the song was okay. Again, don't really know how it ranks in Action Bronson's discography. I'd actually have to get around to it at some point.
Well, we got a few mixtapes run around, so good luck on that.
And anyway, moving on to our next song, we have entry number 4 of 52 from the 2017 Adult Swim Singles Program. This one coming from Sad 13. As we mentioned, Sadie Dupois, the front woman of alternative rock band Speedy Ortiz, with a song called So Bad. That's spelled with 3 O's because reasons, I guess. And this is kind of a weird one, like even by Sadie's standards, because
pretty much listen
to the intro and there's these like buzzing, rumbling synthesizers.
Ring around the rosy.
Yeah, I noticed that too. You can hear like it's really like, quick.
What the hell?
Like it's sort of blinking, you'll miss it, but you could hear this interpolation of that ring around the rosy melody, and you know, mixed in with like 808 drums and these kind of, you know, like that radio college radio rock overdriven guitars in the mix with this kind of off-kilter dissonant melody. And there's even parts in the song where it like all these elements kind of like smush together into this giant blaring wall of noise, while the lyrics are, you know, about I guess Sadie trying to get back together with some ex of hers that she fucked up the relationship with. I'm guessing it, as I said, Sadie's lyrics are very sort of, you get the sense that you're not sure what you're supposed to take away from them, but that there's something there. There's a lot of weirdness here.
Yeah. It's definitely weird to a fucking T. From the instrumentation to the ring around the rosy shit to pretty much everything in this song. It's like okay, wow, like holy shit, okay. It's weird, but yeah, I can listen to it like every now and then.
Yeah. Nothing else. It's certainly got an identity. It's not a song you're likely to forget anytime soon. Seriously, Ring Around the Rosie? Yeah, that's weird. But, you know, it's good weird. You're not going to forget it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, unlike this next song we have to talk about. So...
Oh, yeah.
Macklemore. He is apparently planning a new album sometime, possibly this year. The first album he's done in a while, solo. He's going at this without his, you know, recent, frequent collaborator, Ryan Lewis.
Yeah.
And with this first single we have from the album, it's a song called Glorious, and it's okay. I mean, okay, when you hear the Glorious, it certainly tries to invoke some kind of glory with, like, its chorus and sort of... There's these very gospel-y vocals that are thrown in with, like, the main chorus singer, who, for the record here, is Skylar Gray. I feel like I've heard that name before. Yep. I don't know where.
You have. She mostly do shit with Eminem.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember. I can't name the song, but if I listened to it, I'd probably know what it was.
I think I know what it is.
There's, you know...
At least one of them.
Yeah.
She did... It's the one song they did with him and Dr. Dre called I Need a Doctor.
Oh, for, yeah.
You know, the song that was supposed to be on Detox, a.k.a. the album that you are never going to hear ever, because even he said it sucked.
Yeah. I mean, that song certainly sucked, so...
Yeah, it did.
And yeah, there's...
I need a Dutch!
Mark, don't... Do that again. I'm throwing you in the asylum with Alex. And I'm not going to send you green Skittles. But anyway, there's also in the beat these very ballady pianos. But the thing that kind of brings the song down is that the flow and the lyrics from Macklemore standards are kind of incredibly basic. Like, it's supposed to be some kind of, you know, feel-good, triumphant track, but, like, the lyrics are not the most interesting things in the world. Like, you know what this is? Like, this sounds like a mediocre Logic impersonator.
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, you know, I get how there can be, like, I guess a chronological disconnect there, because, you know, you could argue that Macklemore is one of the rappers that Logic takes a lot of inspiration from, but, like, have you heard everybody? He has, like, some of the same sounds here, but he does much more interesting stuff there with it. This is just kind of basic.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like your very typical inspirational glory sounding rap song, where it's like, you got to hold up, like, oh yeah, you could do this, you could do that, some blah blah blah. Insert female singer for hook and all that shit. As a Skylar Grey, it does sound like something Eminem would reject out of his later albums.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, it's like, and the one thing about the beat, it sounds like, I know, like, it's not Ron Lewis, but hell, I almost thought it was for a minute. Cause I'm getting the same vibe I get from the song. Shit, it was a song that was after Thrift Shop, but shit, it was. I know it was another song that sounded like that. It was,
which one? Downtown.
No, not that one. It was still on the. It was on the Heist.
Oh.
It wasn't Seven. It was Same Love. It was. Shit, come at us, come get us, come, shit, it was something that sounded just like that song. It was, it's gonna bomb me all day. But yeah, it sounds like that song from The Heist.
Okay, hang on. You said that it was the track that came right after Thrift Shop?
Or the single. I know there's a single that...
Oh, the single after Thrift Shop.
Yeah, the single after Thrift Shop, yeah.
Okay, according to the Wikipedia page, the song is White Walls. Like, that was the single they released right after Thrift Shop, so.
Oh, then that's not it.
Oh, damn. Well, then I got nothing. I mean, unless it was Thin Line?
Nope.
Neon Cathedral?
No.
Wings? Awake? Gold? Starting Over? Cowboy Boots?
Damn it.
10,000 hours?
Oh, God. Can you move on now? Because you know what? I'm going to move on because this is going to take forever.
Yeah. We gotta move on. So we'll probably look this up next during song, the break, I guess.
Yeah. It's our next song. Hey, Hudson Mohawk, you're back.
Yeah. And so is the Silicon Valley soundtrack, which I think may actually be already out by the time we put this episode out.
Yeah, I think so, because I went to the place and said, is it out now or next week? Because I went to the SoundCloud page, like, out the 23rd. I thought it said it's out the 6th. Well, fuck it. Anyway, the song we got here is called Passports. It's Hudson Mohawk featuring a rapper named Remy Banks, who, yeah, I ain't heard of this guy. So yeah, like, I will say, like, the production of this song sound very, very twinkly. I want to say twinkly, but I don't know if that sounds right.
Yeah, I'd say more. It's really creepy. It sounds like it almost kind of sounds like a haunted funhouse.
It's not like two computers beating each other.
Guess that's appropriate for Silicon Valley, then.
Pretty much, and we'll say the beat is very I definitely got into it, and as for rapper Remy Banks, okay, he's sounded okay, I guess, like, okay, I guess, like, I think the word he said kind of drifted, I just didn't out, because I was kind of more focused on the production, but it was like, man, but it was like, okay.
Yeah, I'll admit, Remy Banks doesn't give you much to work with, it's just typical brag rap, look at how awesome I am, I, you know, drink lots of booze, I fly on expensive planes, I fuck on your bitch or something. It's that kind of shit.
Yeah, basically that, or at least that's what I got most of it from. Like I said, the production is the most interesting part of the song. I will say it is, like I said, a very glitchy computer esque kind of vibe, which is usually what I sometimes get from Hudson Mohawk. It's like, yeah, it sounds a good instrumental, like. The verses like whatever, but yeah, I can definitely listen to this some of the time.
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, we both agree Hudson Mohawk stole the show here.
Yeah,
which, you know, is to be expected, naturally. And now we move on to our last two songs of the week, both from popular alternative rock bands. First up, a band that I can't say I've thought about since 2008 or so, The Killers. Yeah, I'll admit, my knowledge only extends to their first album and the song When You Were Young, because that was in one of the Rock Band games, and that was actually one of my favorite songs to play on that, you know, good old game. But they've, you know, come back recently. They announced that they're putting out a new album later this year called Wonderful Wonderful. Repetition, repetition. And they've even released the first single of it titled The Man, which, you know, is very pop rocky. It's this big, very anthemic rock tune that's like very disco like and tries to be funky at the same time, especially like with the synths, the bass, and a lot of the falsetto vocals. It's kind of a fun listen, you know, especially because a lot of those, as I said, disco grooves. And, you know, the lyrics, I mean, it's just, I think it's Brandon Flowers, I think he's still the singer, you know, just singing about how awesome he is, and, you know, how he's the man, which you'll probably figure out a lot of what he's singing about from there. I think he's also singing in the context of, like, trying to impress some woman, which, there's nothing all that memorable specifically about much of the wording, except for one particular line, and I'm just going to say this here. I'm not sure context could really make this line work. I'll just say there's a point where he sings, and I quote, USDA certified lean. Why are you comparing yourself to meat?
What?
I mean, I think I get the joke there that you're of a premium quality, but that's such an oddly specific thing to say. Like, even Ed Sheeran would tell you to tone it down.
You are now corned beef.
I'm pastrami with several spices. On rye bread.
I'm roast beef.
That reminds me, I gotta go to Katz's Deli one day. But yeah, that's... Apart from that, there's nothing much memorable about the lyrics, but it's a kind of fun listen. Again, I can't really quantify how this fits in the entire Killers discography, but it's solid enough for what it is. But let's take a quick trip back to the asylum so we can hear what our boy Alex thinks of this song.
The last time I heard something from the Killers, it was their awesome When You Were Young track. And here, with this new song of theirs, well, it's a good dance track. I can't say much more than that other than... Yeah.
Thank you for your thoughts, sir. Hopefully you get out of there sometime soon. And now we have to move on to the final song of the week. Probably the biggest one, the biggest deal, so to speak. I mentioned earlier in the year during our segment on our most anticipated albums of the year. At least I think I mentioned it. I'm trying to remember. But that one of my most anticipated was whatever it was that Queens of the Stone Age had cooking up in the pipeline. Because they did mention they were going to be putting something out in 2017. And after a little bit of a cryptic tease and a humorous little promo video, we now have the announcement of their upcoming 7th studio album, Villains, due out August 25th. And we have the first single, The Way You Used to Do. Now, perhaps most interesting of the album's credits is that the producer on this record is, and I'm not kidding you here, Mark Ronson, the Uptown Funk guy, is producing a Queens of the Stone Age album. Which, you know, I can kind of see why that's the case, because, lest you've forgotten, both Josh Homme and Mark Ronson were both collaborators on Lady Gaga's most recent album, Joanne. Even working together specifically on a couple of songs, including the lead single, Perfect Illusion. So I can kind of see why they would decide to, you know, take some of those tendencies and, you know, have Homme recruit Mark for a new record. Now, you never really know what to expect from Queens. Like, there's sort of a basic desert rock sort of industrial framework that you can expect in general, but the actual specifics sometimes, you know, bear out in weird ways. So, like, with this song, yeah, you know, it has this fuzzy staccato guitar thing, these bombastic hand claps, you know, this pounding tom rhythm, and the whole thing is more this energetic, very dance rock kind of thing. Like, you can almost kind of feel it as, like, you could probably argue it's sort of maybe a B-side from Joanne, like if that album was more Queens of the Stone Age and less Lady Gaga. But it's kind of, you know, a fun tune. It's very catchy, and of course, Josh Homme's vocal delivery, as ever, is just immaculate and all kinds of strange and offbeat. But I'm waiting to hear a couple more singles just to sort of see if this is just an outlier or this is the big picture of what it's going for. I will also say that a lot of the guitar interplay is quite excellent. The way the riffs sort of, you know, bounce between the lead and the rhythm just off each other and sort of, you know, playing into and out of each other. It's very tightly written on the guitar end. But before we move into the break, let's cut to Alex one more time to see what he thinks of this track.
Yep, these guys have always been a band I've never fully gotten into, save for a few choice singles from Queens of the Stone Age. So yeah, they're way deep in my backlog. This track, though, it's a pretty good 60s rock-style track, but I do have to ask. Mark Ronson is producing this album? The Uptown Funk guy? That's crazier than the people I'm dealing with in here. Back off, Sergeant Pepper!
Thank you very much for that. We'll be sure to come back to you in a little bit, and hopefully bad things don't happen to you in the meantime.
We'll send weed!
Yes, we will. Plus, I hear it's legal in, is it legal in North Carolina?
I don't know. I guess no, for some reason.
Wait, what does it matter? We're smuggling weed into prison. What do we care about legality? But yeah, that'll basically cover the new song discussions for this week. So we're going to go on a little break. And when we come back, we'll of course have the other news topics. So, see ya, kids.
Stay tuned.
And we're back. So, starting off with the first of these news topics, the Grammy Awards. You know, that thing that we always kvetch about for, you know, getting it wrong a lot of the time. You snub Danny Brown, you motherfuckers. And perhaps because of all the frequent complaints from people like me and Mark and Alex and other people, The Recording Academy has announced that for the next edition of the Grammy Awards, the 60th, they are going to be implementing some changes to the processes of how they determine nominees and ultimately the winners. Among these changes include the introduction of online voting for anyone in the committee. And on top of that, they will be introducing new review committees for the categories of rap, contemporary instrumental, and new age. As they explain it, that these new committees will serve, quote, as an additional round of checks and balances to eliminate the potential for a popularity bias that puts emerging artists, independent music, and late year releases at a disadvantage. Which,
in other words, what they should have done last year.
Yes, so, you know, why could you have done that the year before? So you could have given the best rap album to Danny Brown's Atrocity Exhibition. I mean, on the bright side, at least this maybe gives hope that possibly RTJ3 will get a winning shot.
Yeah, let's hope so.
They've had three albums already. What do they... And they've all been pretty damn great. What more do they have to do to get validation from the Academy?
Because Reefiness is like, they're going, like, they're... Okay, so Reefiness, they said they're going, like, they're going to reach out to online voting, or they got some committee to say, hey, you know what, we should pick this instead of this. So let's say, if we run this shit, what we pick? Like, I know we pick RTJ. I know we pick Dan McKenzie Lamar. Who else we put in there?
Well, I mean, see, that's the thing. That one, remember, popularity contest. That one was going to win. That was get nomination without question. But yeah, the online voting is apparently only for the over 13,000 members of, you know, the Recording Academy amongst their voting base.
So how do we get in? Do we just sneak in there?
I hope so. And another one of the interesting changes is that apparently for Album of the Year, for any artists nominated in that category, they will also recognize the songwriters as, you know, amongst the nominations. So you know how in certain categories, when they're rattling off, like, names, they'll say, like, everyone that was involved in it, from producers, songwriters, and, you know, yada yada?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now they're doing that for the Album of the Year category. Moving forward, and this is directly quoting from the Grammy website, all music creators credited with at least 33% or more playing time on the winning album will be eligible to receive a Grammy in this category.
So in other words, someone like DJ Kelly would be nominated.
And he gets to get more credit for not doing a goddamn thing!
Maybe his son on his next album.
Yeah, by the way, have you mentioned how creepy it is that he promotes his son all the time?
Pretty much it's like, damn, man, give that kid a break. Let him sleep. Or nap. Like, shit.
All he wants to do is poop in his pants. And throw up on the floor. He doesn't want to be hanging around, you know, strippers with big titties.
Yeah, we would, but, well, I don't know what, well, I would, I don't know.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Mark, and I have nothing but respect.
Oh, shit. Yeah, like I said, this shit's kind of creepy.
But yeah, we're going on a tangent, so I'm actually kind of fascinated to see how these changes bear out. Hopefully they'll actually, you know, follow through, and we'll actually get some of the more promising rap talent to, you know, get nominations in the categories. Because I swear to God, if they fuck up again and we end up getting a nomination for Drake's More Life, I'm going to shit a brick.
Oh, God. Yeah, the worst thing. Oh, great. And this, and I got a bad feeling that shit might happen. But then again, I don't want to jinx the shit.
Yeah, so we might as well shut up and move on to the next story. Now, what's one of the first things you think of when someone brings up the topic of metal? You might think of a lot of things, you know, very heavy, aggressive attitudes, nihilistic, evil lyrics, you know, associations with Satanism, regardless of whether or not they're justified, and of course, the devil horns, that ever so classic of hand symbols that symbolizes metal fandom everywhere. Often credited to Ronnie James Dio as the man who more or less wore that as like a sigil over his chest, so to speak. But apparently another man is trying to claim ownership of that symbol in more ways than one, and that is, of course, KISS frontman Gene Simmons, who...
Boo!
He has filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office this past Friday to put a trademark on that hand gesture. Here's the thing, though. In the application that he filed, he actually included an image of the hand symbol, and it's not even the right one. That's not the devil horns. That's the Spider-Man thing.
What the
fuck? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Stupid motherfucker.
Like, okay, Mark, I'm not sure if you're looking at the diagram right now, but he has the thumb out. That's not how you do the horrors. The thumb is closed in. That thumb thing is what you do it for shooting webs, and this isn't Spider-Man Homecoming, you know? It's not for another month or so. Or another couple weeks, I don't know. Now, anyway, Gene Simmons claims that the first time the hand symbol was used in any kind of mainstream fashion was November 14th, 1974, a date which corresponds with Kiss's Hotter Than Hell tour. Now, he obviously has not... There's a lot of evidence that emerged right in the immediate aftermath that said that this was bullshit. A couple in particular, it's been traced back to various ancient civilizations, like, you know, Latin America and the Mediterranean. It's even been considered a foundational symbol of the Buddhist faith. And even if we narrow it down to, like, the realm of mainstream rock music, the origin date for this is somewhere between 1967 and 1969. Now, the examples in question include the album artwork for the Beatles' Yellow Submarine, or rather, a single that included Yellow Submarine and Eleanor Rigby. In the artwork, you can see John Lennon throwing up the horns himself in a manner that does look like it's maybe a little consistent with the diagram included, or maybe he just has a freakishly long thumb, who knows. And, of course, there is none other than Jinx, the front woman of Metal Pioneers Coven. She even took to Facebook to point out early pictures of Coven's first, one of their first live shows in 1967, a black and white photo of her throwing up the devil horns, and of course the artwork for their 1969, I believe, debut album, Witchcraft Destroys Minds and Reaps Souls, where, you know, she's throwing up the version of the horns that's actually correct. So, yeah, this is, dude, Gene, your argument is incredibly flawed. Like, come on, what? Why would you even trademark that? That's like dumber than, I don't know, Donald Trump trying to trademark, you're fired. It's an extremely common thing. So what, you expect me to give you like $5 every time I do it? Fuck you, man. But I'm sure I'm not the only one who's annoyed by this, so let's kick it back over to the asylum to see what Alex has to say about this dumb fuckery.
Hey, Gene? I think the late Ronnie James Dio has something to say to you about the devil horn gesture. Now, unless you're trying to form a program to teach people how to ward off demons from hell, GTFO, asshole.
Thank you very much for your insight, and, you know, as soon as you get out, I gotta ask you, Alex, how they let you have, you know, Wi-Fi in the asylum. I have several questions about that. I'd ask further, but that would poke holes in this framing device narrative. Meta humor. Anyway, moving on to the next story on the list. So we mentioned that the reason Alex is in the asylum is because of news related to Nickelback. Hopefully this story doesn't send him back once he gets out.
Oh, damn.
I mean, I don't think it will. In fact, it'll probably give him a good laugh. Now, everybody loves to make jokes about Nickelback all the time. Even surprisingly, a Republican senator by the name of Ben Sasse, a representative of the state of Nebraska. If you look at his Twitter, you can see him making quite a few jokes about Nickelback. And it's forever, you know, who doesn't like making jokes about Nickelback? I guess even politicians like to have an easy horse to beat on when, you know, they're not taking health care away from the American people.
They're ruining our lives.
Absolutely. However, it seems like someone decided to have a little bit of fun here, because on June 16th, 2017, around 4:11 p.m., he tweeted the following. Quote, "To whoever just subscribed my email accounts, family, work, obsolete, to multiple Nickelback promotional and fan newsletters, it's, period, not, period, funny.
Yes, it is.
Au contraire, sir, that is incredibly hilarious. I do love me some Karma and Schadenfreude.
Karma's a bitch, motherfucker.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, for a good couple of hours, we were all left to wonder who exactly was responsible for this prank. Was it 4chan trolls? Was it a political opponent of his? Shit, was it me? Actually, no, it wasn't me. I'm not...
Was it Obama?
Well, you know, I could probably believe Obama doing that, because he does not give a fuck. Or maybe his anger translator, who knows?
I wish.
But, apparently the culprit was... of all people, another Republican senator, so he claims. The person in question, 83-year-old Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, a name that I'm actually somewhat familiar with, because he seems to have a penchant for being an advocate against the regulation of dietary supplements. You know, he has some weird thing against the FDA, possibly because dietary... you know, companies are paying his bills all the time. So, of course, he would want to, you know, be anti-regulation of any kind. Bastard.
Ho.
Yeah, he's... If you ever want to know why Dr. Oz was so popular, blame guys like Orrin Hatch. Although, I will admit, a funny prank is a funny prank, so... Mm-hmm. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah. You're still a dickhead, though.
Yep. Both of you, how did Rick Sanchez put it? Both of you are pieces of shit, and I can prove it mathematically. But, moving on to the next story on the list. Metal Hammer, a magazine that had actually gone out of business late last year. But, thankfully, it was sort of rescued by some very generous crowdfunding efforts. They actually put on the most recent edition of their Golden God Awards, which was hosted by WWE superstar and frontman of the band Fozzy, Chris Jericho. I'm sure if Alex or, you know, even John were here, they'd probably be able to fill us in on wrestling references and whatnot. So, here are the categories and winners of each going in order. So, Best New Band. Zeal and Ardor, Brutai, Venom Prison, Puppy, and Ocean Groove. The winner, Venom Prison. For Best Underground Band, Anul Nathrok, which I'm sure they're a pretty big thing in metal, and they've been around for a while, but sure. Neurosis, again, been around for kind of a while, pretty big name in post-metal. Royal Thunder, Perturbator, which is a synthwave act, although I can kind of see the justification behind them as metal. And, of course, the winner in this category, Pallbearer, who we have discussed quite a bit with the singles from their new album, Heartless, which was, again, a really good album. You owe it to yourselves to hear it. Best UK Band. The winner was Architects, alongside fellow nominees Bury Tomorrow, Orange Goblin, Tesseract, and While She Sleeps. Personally, I would have preferred if it went to either While She Sleeps or Tesseract, but, you know, Architects were okay too, I guess. Best International Band, and it's worth noting that only one of these bands is from a place that isn't America. Avenged Sevenfold, Metallica, Opeth, Alter Bridge, and Korn, and the winner is Avenged Sevenfold. For some reason. I don't get how they count as international, unless you count that song cover they did recently of a Spanish language tune, but whatever. Best Live Band, Steel Panther, Mastodon, Let Live, Killswitch Engage, and Ghost. The winner was Mastodon, which I would love to see them live if they ever came close enough to here. Maybe I'll be able to see them in Orlando, and I think it's the end of September they're coming down here. Anyway, Best Independent Label, Nuclear Blast, Cooking Vinyl, Deathwish, Season of Mist, and Basic. The winner, of course, is Nuclear Blast. Kind of hard to argue with any of these nominees. They all have a lot of promising, you know, bands amongst them. The Dimebag Darrell Shredder Award. The winner was Joel O'Keefe of the band Airborne, alongside nominees Kiko Loredo for his work with Megadeth, Phil Manansala from Of Mice and Men. Manansala, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Ben Bruce of ASCII Alexandria. Holy shit, that you chose the guy who only can chug like one or two chords. Like, that top-notch nominee process. And of course, Ben Wyman of the Dillinger Escape Plan. Obviously, I would have rooted for him to win. Now, here is a category that is absolute bullshit on all counts. And Game of the Year. The nominees are The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Overwatch, Mass Effect Andromeda, Resident Evil 7, and some cheap mobile Iron Maiden tie-in thing.
Let me guess who won.
Winner was the Iron Maiden cash-in thing. Like, okay, think about this logically for a minute. I don't know what the cutoff date is here for, so I don't know if it's wholly for titles released in 2016, but let's think about this. You have Legend of Zelda, which everyone agrees is, like, the best Zelda game to come out in, like, 10 fucking years. I haven't gotten to play it yet, but I'm assuming the consensus is true. You have Overwatch, which I may think it's only okay, but you can't deny that it's this become this massive phenomenon in the gaming world, and that the hype has still gone as strong as it has for this year certainly says something. Obviously, Mass Effect Andromeda is a joke, but you have Resident Evil 7 as well, a game which revitalized a franchise that's been kind of, you know, dead in terms of quality for the past, like, 4 or 5 years. So you have those, you know, three really good games that are, you know, setting benchmarks and whatnot, and you choose the cheapy mobile shit? Like, look, I get it, it's Iron Maiden, but come on, have some honesty here, people. Anyway, and now the award for Breakthrough Act. The nominees are Creeper, Oathbreaker, Horror, which is spelled with nines in each case of an R, Code Orange, and Avatar. And the winner was Avatar, which, again, they've been around for like 10 years, so I'm not sure where the breakthrough aspect came in. I'm only really familiar with three of these bands, so, and Avatar is the only one I like. I've said it before, I hate Code Orange. I only think Oathbreaker is okay, so, yeah, that's kind of a wash. So, moving on to the non-fan-voted categories. Wait, hang on. If those other categories were fan-voted, does that mean more people honestly voted for the Iron Maiden shit instead of Overwatch? I swear to God, the fucking internet makes, like, no goddamn sense to me. I can't believe I'm this salty about this, and I don't even, like Overwatch that much, but whatever. Anyway, for the non-fan-voted categories, Rifflord went to the almighty Devin Townsend. Defender of the Faith went to Ben Ward of Orange Goblin, and his partner Sandy Soriano, the two individuals who organized the crowdfunding efforts to help bail Metal Hammer out of bankruptcy. Understandable. The Inspiration Award went to longtime Thrasher's Exodus. Best Album went to Gojira's Magma. Fucking bullshit! Really? You chose Gojira's weakest album that they've probably ever put out for album of the...
Need some water.
You know, can we get a review process here like they're doing with the Grammys? Okay, the Spirit of Hammer Award went to Prophets of Rage, the, you know, current group that consists of all the instrumentalists from Rage Against the Machine. The Icon Award went to the Dillinger Escape Plan. Fuck yeah. And of course, the Golden God went to none other than Black Sabbath. Obviously predictable, of course. You know, it kind of sucks that I don't think they streamed this award thing anywhere. Which kind of sucks, because that would have made, like, a great episode for me and Alex to riff on. You know, as a little bonus thing. But anyway, speaking of Alex, let's cut away to him real quick. Get his expert metal opinion on these awards.
Alright, first off, I get that this is a UK magazine doing the Golden God Awards. But really... Avenged Sevenfold is the best international band. It's not just that America really isn't international anything, but Avenged Sevenfold? Really? Oh, and color me surprised that the only music-themed game in Iron Maiden's game gets the Game of the Year honors over Breath of the Wild, Resident Evil 7, and even Overwatch! But that's just me. Now, Devin Townsend being voted as Rifflord, That's not even an award. That's a scientific fact. And Paul Bearer getting the Best Underground Band Award, that's something I can dig. That album of theirs was killer! And also, R.I.P. Metal Hammer, you died far too soon because of some major bullshit. Oh, I gotta go. I got next in cord holding, and the speculum's as wide as it can go! I'm on deck, you guys!
Thank you again for your contributions, and... Oh. Yeah, it sounds like you're having a fun time there, pal. Hopefully you're still intact for next week.
Any more Skittles?
Continuity of jokes. Anyway, moving on to our last story this week, and this is going to be mainly a Mark one. We thought about bringing it up last week, but it literally came up like the morning of the day we were recording last week's episode, so we thought it made more sense to sort of let it like simmer for a bit before we delved into the topic any further. So, take it away, man.
So, once again, we have gotten the Hip-Hop Magazine Double XL brought to us their Double XL Freshman Class of 2017. And, of course, every year people tend to, well, bitch and moan about who's on this list because they either A, because, you know, never heard of them before, or they maybe have. So, yeah, the freshman list, they've been doing this for, oh yeah, by the way, it's their 10th anniversary of doing this list. And they have, and for those past years, they have highlighted some actually fairly good rappers on here. Like, you got Freddie Gibbs, most of Top Dawg is on the list in some years. Danny Brown, Anderson .Paak last year, Vince Staples. Then you got some rappers that you think, oh, what the fuck, like there's Future, Machine Gun Kelly, Iggy Azalea, but yeah, this we're gonna focus on this year's list.
Yep.
And the ones they pick, they are from the Bay Area rapper and these names are gonna fuck up. From the Bay Area,
Kamehameha.
Yeah. Yeah, that her I heard before. She was on a single with YG, "Why Always Hating with Drake" on this album, "Still Brazy," which yeah, that album was kind of good. I ain't heard much of her, but it was like I kind of although she was probably the hook on that song. It's like, oh okay, I should check her out. Then from the Bronx we have A Boogie with the Hoodie, and no, I'm not shitting you. That's his stage name, A Boogie with the Hoodie.
WITDA Hoodie. These rap names make less and less sense to me every day.
Yeah, not to mention, I know sometimes he do some shit with Kodak Black. Like,
oh my god.
I don't know. Okay, and then we got another rapper from Philadelphia, PNB Rock. PNB Rock. This guy, I heard one single from him called Selfish. I think he's like, well, basically like, you know, a rapper who, you know, who does, you know, got the sing-songy flow, you know, rapper who sings a lot. Yeah, like that type of guy. I heard one single from him before. It's like, man, okay. I mean, that was all right, I guess. Then you got this other rapper who is from Atlanta, but he represents Tokyo, some shit. Anyway, his name is Made in Tokyo or TYO. I know last year he had a single called Uber Everywhere, which I never really listened to that much. Which okay. Like, okay, you do some shit in Tokyo. What I guess only feeling interesting aspect of it's like, oh, you do shit in Tokyo or you got some Tokyo some I don't know.
No, I just realized he says Tokyo. I wonder if that means he's I don't know, I guess a member of that label, 88 Rising, possibly? You know, that up-and-coming, Asian hip-hop label. Shit, that's the one that, the guy who plays Filthy Frank is signed on.
Oh, yeah, I think he is, no, he's not.
Oh.
On there. Like I said, he's from Atlanta.
Ah, right.
Yeah, and speaking of Marlon, we got another one called Playboy Cardi, who I think I think we heard of him. Heard of him called Magnolia. Maybe heard of him. Heard of it because there's a meme of it going on with him and SpongeBob for some reason.
Wait, what?
There's some meme where there's some SpongeBob clips where he where the place we saw Magnolia on there before. I think I saw a clip before. It was like, oh, okay. Him as a rapper. Okay, he's an Atlanta rapper. Like, alright. Like, whatever.
Wait. Hang on. SpongeBob. Why have I not heard of this? I know all about the SpongeBob memes. I'm the memester.
But shit, I have no idea. Like I said, I saw a glimpse of it. It's like, oh, okay, alright. And then, okay, and the next one we got from Portland is, I can't say this nigga name, Amine. It's the guy that did the song Caroline. So yeah, he me on the list so far, and yeah, that's whatever him. All right, that's cool, I guess.
I mean, shit. His name sounds like it's the name of an anime character.
And you know what? I'm not gonna try name again because I'll fuck it up again. Up next, we got Atlanta, another Atlanta artist, Cap G. Who I never heard of, so I'm gonna skip you. Sorry, I never heard of you. And now the next one we got is Kyle. You know the guy that the song "I Spy," the one little Yachty. In other words, you team up with another rapper who does this happy shit, and the one single that's charting that actually got charting like Broccoli did. Matter of fact, why do you team up with these people like they rappers that do better than you in their own, like Jonathan versus Brock is like Jonathan versus Brock is like yeah like Broccoli is fine. I will say the little Yachty verse is like, why the fuck mention Colorblind? And then you got I Spy with, you know, the Kyle dude, which okay, like he's all right. And then you Well, I don't know what you mentioned, but I don't know what the fuck you mentioned because that song really don't stick with me that much. But okay, Kyle, he's, well, let's hope you get more hit, get at least, I don't know, more attention. Because, well, like Drum, Broccoli charted, but the rest of the shit didn't. Yeah. And with this, like, yeah, I Spy charted, but I'm not sure if any other shit will chart. And then we got this guy from Houston. His name is Ugly God.
I wonder why.
He made a song about water. He was on called Water. And that song called, and another song about beating your meat.
I'm guessing it's not a good kind of song, like that one Thundercat song.
Yeah, like, I think he's supposed to, if he's supposed to make music for memes or some shit, I don't know.
Someone say memes?
Damn it.
Let me tell you about memes.
Yeah.
Actually, no, we don't have time.
Yeah. And last but not least, or maybe, I don't know, we got the one, the only, XXXTentacion.
The guy AKA, you know. AKA, my favorite punching bag in hip-hop. Literally.
Yeah, the guy got knocked the fuck out. You probably know him for his song, Look at Me, Fuck at Me, which people claim Drake stole his flow on the song KMNT off More Life, which I have like listened to that song and this song, and I feel like, well, I can see your point, but then again, neither songs are not that good, and KMNT only like Gig's part of that, so yeah, he's basically like the new punching bag with blonde hair. And I'm pretty sure, like, does he have any other shit out right now? I don't know.
Like I said, I literally just know him as a guy who, like, you know, gets punched and, like, physically assaults. Like, most of the videos I've seen, like, I know a buddy of mine who sometimes, like, retweets, like, funny, a whole bunch of shit from across the internet. He retweeted a video where, like, XXXTentacion tried to do, like, a stage dive, but he ended up slamming into, like, the barrier instead of, like, the audience. He, like, undershot the jump. I'm just like, does this guy literally just exist to get beaten up? He's, like, the world's greatest pinata.
Yeah. And so, yeah, basically that's it. And yeah, that's basically our list. And well, I know people like to bitch about this list because it's like, oh, these rappers suck. How dare they? Like, you even heard most of them. Like, some could be good. Some could suck, and some could be forgotten. Like, there's, think about it. Like, some of these could be found. I mean, anybody ever heard of Ashraf anymore? Or Corey Guns? Or who the fuck on here? Peel? Anybody heard these guys anymore? Like the list can either, like, I'm not saying the list can help you out, because sometimes it don't. Like, some rappers, or singers, since they ask singers most of the time, they either turn down the list. Like, I know Drake turned it down, Nicki Minaj turned it down, A$AP Rocky turned the shit down, and their career is going fine. Hell, Post Malone turned this shit down.
Ew.
Yeah. And I know, and I know some, like, some rappers got snubbed, or some people say, why do you add this rapper on this list? Like, I know, like, there's, like, this one rapper named Famous Dex that got snubbed, and the reason why they say it is because they found some video of him doing some domestic violence shit, but yet, you didn't cast him, but yet you got Triple X attached on, who actually went to jail for that shit. I'm like, okay, they just got him because he's the hot new shit, and no one gives a fuck about Future Dex. Like, I don't even know who the fuck he is until I've looked it up.
Neither do I.
But yeah, like, these rappers, like, I don't know if they'll last as long. I mean, to be honest, I kind of prefer last year's over this. I mean, at least for last year, I like Anderson .Paak and Denzel Curry. And maybe Davies. I heard good shit from him, and maybe Giarbo, but these rappers, like, I never, like, thing is, like, these rappers I'm very unfamiliar with, most of them, like, I heard, like, one track or single from them, but I never really got that much of a full grasp of them. Like, who knows, some could end up being the hottest rappers, or good, some could easily be forgotten like yesterday's trash, or could be trash. But then again, trash could end up being gold. Example being Lil Yachty, and Kodak Black, and Lil Uzi Vert, and Lil Dicky, and Lil Dicky. I'm gonna say right now, fuck Lil Dicky. His fucking shit sucks. Sorry to go on a tangent, but who the fuck are y'all say he did the best verse? He did the best freestyle last year. Like, and what? That don't mean you're the best rapper alive. That's some dumb shit to go on about.
I just want to say a couple of things here. One, I have never heard Lil Dicky's music, but I hate the sound of his voice. Because I use Spotify free, and every other commercial is him telling me to put a condom on. And, oh, let's not forget when he was in those fucking, like, when I see those same commercials on TV, as well as when he was in fucking, like, I think it was Carl's Jr. commercials, it's just like, I hate your voice, I hate your face, I haven't even heard secondary music, but I want to fucking punch you like your XXXTentacion.
I heard a single of his. It fucking sucked.
And second observation. This is unrelated to Lil Dicky, but I recall when they were taking, I think XXL put up, like, an online poll of, I'm not sure if it was people that they had consideration for as far as the freshman class, but, like, I think it was, like, a list of rappers that people could vote on to see if they get nominated to potentially be in the freshman class. And the one rapper I do distinctly remember from there was our boy Joey Perp. And it kind of makes me sad that he didn't get in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess, like, the whole thing works. I guess they vote. Like, I'm not really clear how this shit works, because I never really did this shit. But, like, yeah, I think the whole vote thing, like, you know, like who's popping right now? Like, who's has a hot check or some shit? Or, you know, who's getting some buzz that might be good or some shit?
Yeah, I think they said themselves, like, they check out, like, the from rappers, hip-hop heads, industry, you know, veterans and all that shit. They just, like, reference from all over the place.
Basically, that's how this shit go on.
Yep. Maybe we'll have, you know, who knows what'll happen next year. Maybe and next year the talent will be more interesting, I guess.
And people will still bitch about it.
Hoo boy. And so, yeah, that basically, you know, covers all the news topics. So now we just have one last thing to take care of, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 23rd, 2017. Starting from the top, we have the 8th studio album from longtime death metal veterans Dying Fetus, titled Wrong One to Fuck With. Jeez, the fucking title.
Okay.
The newest album from Black and Death Metalers Goat Horror, titled Vengeful Ascension. The second of 5 planned studio albums this year from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, titled Murder of the Universe. Sorry, I need to take a breath for a second. That name's a mouthful. The latest album from Crossover Thrash Act Municipal Waste, titled Slime and Punishment. The new album from 311, titled Mosaic. Investigate. Ranch was an inside job. Sponsored by Sprite. We have the newest album from indie pop rockers Imagine Dragons, titled Evolve. Wait, they're still around?
Unfortunately.
We have the new album from professional meme master DJ Khaled, titled Grateful. And I'm sure he's grateful for having a bunch of collaborators save his ass when he doesn't do shit. And last, but certainly not least, the second studio album from rapper Vince Staples, titled Big Fish Theory. So that about does it for the weekly releases. So now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Mark, where can they find you on the internets?
On Twitter, via Mac2HybridMedia, of course, and on my site, TheMindOfHybrid1 at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. Hey, I did a review! Unfortunately, it's the asterisk 4, and I'm not happy about it.
Oh, yeah, asshores, as yeah, I that, call it.
Yeah, that. And also, I keep calling purple haired fucker purple, I mean purple Lamborghini Kirito or dirty Sprite Amaguri.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
Now, as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Rob Barracuda, Instagram as well. Contact me if you have any inquiries or questions or comments about the podcast, robert@surrealresolution.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel, which you can find by searching either Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you can always be notified when new episodes go up there as well. And, of course, this is the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, which you can follow on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Find online at www.surrealresolution.com. And, of course, find the podcast on its subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. While you're there, be sure to listen to all of our past episodes, and check out our other great podcasts as well. If you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. If you like anime, check out Podcast ONA, which will be premiering its second episode this weekend. While you're on the site, be sure to check out a lot of our great written content as well. Currently, we have weekly write-ups of My Hero Academia Season 2, and I believe Attack on Titan will be finishing up our recaps and reviews and whatnot this week. Also, be sure to check out my latest album review. I will have a review of the newest Dying Fetus release, Wrong One to Fuck With, which, short version, the album is as fantastic as that title is awful. That means it's very good. Be sure to follow Surreal Resolution on Twitch. Jump into our Discord chat as well. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. That'll about do it for this week's episode of Decibel Boost. So, until next time. Look, I tried to get Alex out, okay? What do you want from me?
Why don't you try to shoot me?